fans in a lot of ways. I know how they feel. They're great. They're loyal. They want a bang for their buck.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the LarshCast. On this episode, the boys get you ready for Super Bowl Sunday. But before they do, they're going to dive into some news about your Vancouver Canucks. This is a can't-miss episode, so let's go.
Hold up.
All right, everybody, welcome to Season 3, Episode 12. Is it Episode 12?
I thought it was Episode 11, man.
Hold up. We know the number one rule at the LarshCast is we don't mention that number between 10 and 12 because that was worn by the worst Canuck of all time, that piece of shit.
Absolutely.
Name, but he wore that number. So it's Episode 12.
It's Episode 10-12, everybody. Welcome to the LarshCast.
It's Episode
10.2. And we have another special guest here today to join me, Nav Dosanjh and Juggy Bajwa. His name is Hardev Buller. He is a member of the Larshiders, a casual member. He needs to become a full-time member. And he's a diehard Canucks fan as well as a diehard football fan. And we are going to be talking Canucks in the first half and Super Bowl in the second half of this podcast. Let's get going. First things first, how's everybody doing after the last two games that we just witnessed here, the back-to-back? What do you guys think? Hardev, I'll start with you. First time hearing you your thoughts about the Canucks. What did you think about the last back-to-back?
Well, after seeing the Islanders game, I just wish I had the over on that game because in the first period, they already hit the over, so I don't know what was happening there. But, I mean, after five-goal performance by Islanders in the first period, I'm glad to see the Canucks at least were being a bit resilient and, you know, coming back on the scoreboard. Unfortunately, they still fell short. But, yeah, no Hughes either, right? Hughes is out as well. So I think that obviously had something to do with it too.
Mm-hmm. Nav, what do you think about the game there, the Islanders, and also the Coyotes game? Because it was, you know, there was one good, one bad, kind of ended up good. But what do you think?
Well, I'll start with the Coyotes. I think that game was kind of overhyped. The Coyotes are about to play in a 5,000 or 4,000-seat stadium. I mean, come on, seriously, like, are we really going to be excited about a team that can't get 4,000 fans to the game? They're basically a glorified ECHL team with Phil Kessel playing on their team, right? I mean,
might as well just do it at the Bell Center in Surrey, right?
I think that might have more seat capacity, man. I'm sure the Surrey audience can fill more than 4,000 people. It's embarrassing. The NHL should be embarrassed, but getting back to the Canucks, yeah. So, I mean, they beat the Coyotes. I wasn't that impressed. I mean, you expected that, right?
But the Coyotes had just come off a pre-All-Star break, a 3-2 win against the best team in the Western Conference, right? You know, the 3-2 shootout win over the Avs. But
still, let's be honest, right? If you want to make the playoffs, you beat the Coyotes.
Yeah.
The Islanders come to town. The Islanders aren't great either. They're not one of the top teams as people thought they'd be. They're pretty at the bottom 10 team in the NHL. So I'm watching this game, and I think I said it to the group, and I think I tweeted it out. I got some love. I'll be honest, this was my feeling about that game. Multiple times in my life, I've gone to take a shit and missed three goals against the Canucks. Never have I gone to the bathroom and taken a piss and come back to see the other team up by three goals. I was literally in the bathroom for like a minute, 40 seconds. I come back and it's 3-0.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you let three goals in a minute 40 or whatever, the minute 31 was it? Which is a pathetic thing?
It was 30 seconds. It was like 31
seconds. The pathetic thing about that is, it's not even an all-time Canuck, all-time NHL record. I think the Canucks hold that record back in the 27 seconds, which just defines the Canuck organization for the last 50 plus years. So I don't know, man. I think the writing is basically it's on the wall, guys.
Well, like, we're gonna talk about that. We're gonna talk about the writing on the wall. Where it is, whether it's even cursive or you know gibberish, but we'll see. But before I get to Juggy's thoughts here, the one thing we were walking to the game. We were running a little late because the puck drop was supposed to be late. TNT debuted in America and they were debuting the back-to-back games. And so we looked at the score. Oh, we're in the lineup to get into the arena. Oh, the game just started. So, you know, we're trying to get in a little bit faster. We get a drink. We go upstairs. We're ready to enter our seat. Look at the score on the TV. 3-0. What the hell? And it was just like a big shock. And then my brother's like, should we just go home? I'm like, no, we got to watch the Canucks play. Are you kidding? And so we go sit down. And then right when we sit down, you know, we're getting into the game, 4-0. And my brother says, all right, if the Canucks don't score a goal before the end of the first, I'm leaving. And I was like, all right, fine. Like 30 seconds later. Well, actually, sorry. He said that right before when it was 5-0. But either way, right after he said that, the Canucks scored a goal. And then they made it interesting. you know, the second period and the third period was a night and day comparison in terms of the level of play and the way the Canucks kind of took over the game. So, you know, you're talking about writing on the wall. We'll get back to that, Nav, but I'm not so sure I agree just yet.
I will say this. If they would have got that fourth goal, if they would have made that fourth goal, they probably would have come back and won. But that says more about the Islanders than it does about the Canucks.
Let's transition that same. Sorry, my kid is crying in the background. But what do you guys think about Cammy Granato as the most recent hire? Let's go to Hardave. It's been a while. He's been sitting there. Yeah. Hardave, what are your thoughts on the second female hiring of an assistant general manager for the Canucks, Cammy Granato, who has a really well-documented, you know, story, lots of experience with the game and outside of the game. And she was a scout, the first female scout in the NHL with the Seattle Kraken. What are your thoughts overall?
I think it's showing progression as well, right? Like Jim Rutherford, like he's pretty much showing that it doesn't matter male, female, or, you know, in the end, it's about your resume speaks for itself and everyone deserves an opportunity to hold these positions, right? We have to just be appreciative that it's starting at least, right? And I think we have to look at that. And the Canucks leading the way is awesome, right? Like, I mean, I think Jim Rutherford, like you said, he's trying to put a stamp on this team as well. And I think he's doing a great job of that when he's showing. I mean, he's a proven winner. He was with Pittsburgh. He did a great job there. And now he's bringing that same atmosphere to the team, right? With Boudreaux. And you saw even once Boudreaux came in, like the whole climate just changed with this organization. So I think it's a great hire, and I'm looking forward to seeing some of the moves that are made, because I think that's going to be the most intriguing
waiting for that first shoe to drop.
Yeah, so that's the most intriguing part to me. No, but I think it's awesome. I think it's just great to see in our, like, in the league, right? So
I definitely agree with Hardave as well. You know, just to see the progressive moves in terms of, you know, it's not even about being female or male. It's just about, you know, getting all these hockey minds together that come from different backgrounds that have different perspectives. And there's, you know, been a lot of women who have unfortunately been overlooked, you know, who are like some of the top candidates. And I think we have some of them, you know, with Casting Gway and Cammy Granato. And the thing with Cammy Granato too is that, you know, her brothers, you know, obviously they played hockey. She's from a hockey family, and she's with Ray Ferraro. And I think that's a bonus to this whole thing. I mean, not that Cammy Granato, you know, obviously Ferraro would probably say to you that she's got so much knowledge, she probably doesn't even need me there, but like, you know, just to have another, you know, set of eyes as your, you know, partner and Ferraro, where he can, you know, because he watches the Canucks all the time. He does, you know, games around the league as well. And so does she. And so just to have that other perspective along with hers. I think that bodes well for the Canucks. And I think, you know, the legacy is going to be strong here for JB. Or JR, yeah. I should say.
JR.
Yeah,
JB. Or Jimbo, though. We can say Jimbo still.
Or we could say Jim brother. We could be brother first, right?
No, we're brother first. I thought it was brother fucker.
You know what the best? You know what? Sorry, jumping from that point. What I loved about Cammy's press conference yesterday was what she said. She's like, I've never thought of myself to be a female hockey player. I've always thought myself to be a hockey player. So the hope is what she said, and my hope is too. I hope this isn't a story in like 4 or 5 years, hopefully less. You hire a female, you hire a male, you hire a white person, you hire a black person, you hire a brown person. It should not be a story. I think that's going to be the big story, is like, who cares what color of skin or, you know, gender you come from? It shouldn't matter, right? I mean, it's a big story right now in the NFL too. They don't hire enough black coaches. You know, we're in a league where like 75-80% of the players are black. I hope in all professional sports, it doesn't need to be a story. Hire the best man or woman for the job. And I think hopefully that's what the Canucks are doing. And like I tweeted the other day, TJ, you're laughing at, is if it hasn't worked for 52 years or 53 years, might as well try something else, right? Yeah. Like if whatever, everything you've been trying is wrong, the opposite has to be correct. The only thing we have is success coming our way.
Yeah.
There you go. Nav, you touched on a really good point though, because that was something I was going to mention as well. Like females get quite upset when these media stories become so big and they're like, oh, first female assistant GM hired. Like, they're like, why does it matter? In the end, I, with my resume, that's why I got this job. It's not because I'm female and I'm being handed this now all of a sudden. Like it's my own merit that got me this job. And that's what they're trying to push. And I think you nailed it. Like that's exactly what they've been saying too, right? Like male, female, it doesn't matter. Like in the end, it's about your resume, whether you can do the job, right?
And it shouldn't matter, you know, it really shouldn't. You know, and I think the reason why articles like this are out there is because it just hasn't happened before and people have overlooked it. And I think it just kind of spreads awareness of what we're talking about. It doesn't matter who you are, you know, regardless of gender, you can do a lot of wonders, you know, in the job and in the league. And for different hockey circles.
And let's be honest, guys, like, let's be honest, if anything, women are probably better than men at this anyway, because we all have wives or girlfriends. If we're getting in an argument with them and negotiating something, who's going to win? All right. Women are just smarter than men. Let's be straight up honest. They're going to win. All right. I'm excited. Let's do this. I think these women that they've brought in are going to be better than any man we've ever had. There, I said it. All right.
Oh,
I'm
on the board. Hey, right? Hey, you never know. It could be true.
They're the strong. They are the stronger sex. Who cares? I'm admitting it right now. As a man, I'm admitting
hey,
it.
Hey, right? when they go through childbirth, and you witness that live, you know, for the first time or second time, or it doesn't matter how many times you witness that, it never goes, 100%. It never changes. No. That is the strongest species women of human there is. It's women.
The man try to do that? It's
mothers.
Listen, the men could not do what women do, right? So let's go all power to women, all right?
I'll take it further than just women. It's mothers. Mothers are the dominant species of human beings. Yep,
100%.
All right, let's take it back. We're sidetracked a little bit off the Canucks. I want to go back to the Canucks. Before we talk Super Bowls, and we did share a lot of important information or sentiment and thought on a lot of important topics, but let's go back to the Canucks. So Nav mentioned some stuff about the Islanders that I wanted to get to before we moved on. And, you know, everybody's looking at the Islanders team like this. You're like, what the hell went wrong? You know, what went wrong with this team that went to back-to-back conference semifinals, you know, a great team in the last 5 years, let's say, you know, and Lou Lamoriello was developing a great program there. So what went wrong this year? Well, don't forget, they had a historic, I think, opening road trip this season, or played so many road games to start the season this year because they were moving to their new arena. And so that, and I think they might have had a COVID break. I'm not sure about the COVID part, but that alone, it kind of screws up a lot of your team's ability to gain some momentum playing on the road for that long, not having your home arena, you know, all of that factors in. And look at the Canucks, you know, we've had similar situations where we've been on the road for so long or had so many road trips in a short amount of time. Like it can screw up your team's chemistry, screw up the team's ability to get some momentum out of the gate. And once you fall back, you know, out of the race, look at the Canucks as a comparable. It's hard. It's a hard climb back into the bat, you know, back into the playoff picture. So I still think this Islanders team is better than they're showing by their record. And for us to lose to them doesn't necessarily scream like, you know, we're trash, but it doesn't look good when you lose or when you get three goals scored against you in 30 seconds. And even at those goals, some of them, you know, deflection goals or whatnot, It was a frustrating loss, but that doesn't mean the Canucks, and Nav, you said this, you said the writing's on the wall. I don't agree with that statement. I think this team has more to give. I think this team suffered a lot of lack of momentum, loss of momentum, and just lost a lot of key players at the key times. We had a good run out of the gate with Boudreau, and everything kind of just sidetracked, derailed from there. And I don't necessarily think that this team is as bad as some people in this market make it out to be, and especially some of the drama, you know, kings and queens in this market. I don't even have to name
their defense.
All I gotta say is drama, and you know who I'm talking about. But the defense, the one of the best defensive stats in the league this year, like in terms of goals against, like we're right up there with the leaders.
That's because they got Demko.
It's Demko, Halak, but it's also the team structure. It's also Bradshaw. Halak has a higher save percentage than Demko. What are you talking about? Even after last game, well, maybe not after last game, but come on, man. Like it's a team structured. Bradshaw came in, he implemented some changes in the details of the game. Now he's running the defense. The team is playing really well defensively. You can't just point at the defense and say they're the problem.
We DJ, we have these arguments all the time. Let's ask Hardy if I just want to ask him honestly.
Well, Juggy was up next, so let's go to Juggy.
Both you guys, Juggy said it last time. Let me just get a quick question from Hardy Davis. Are they going to make the playoffs? We've had this conversation.
You
want to
ask Hardy
now?
Okay.
Make the playoffs. You weren't here last week.
All right.
So, and then Juggy can go for sure.
Such a loaded question.
It's a yes or no question, man. You got to go with your gut.
I'm going to say they will.
Yes.
With the other teams in their division. And the way they're performing, I think the Canucks have a good chance.
My man, I knew there was a reason I brought you on.
Hey. All right, Juggy, sorry, go ahead.
So in terms of the Islanders, you know, I think the situation was for them is that 13-game road trip to start the season really, you know, did a lot in for them. I think, you know, if you kind of go back even a couple of years, and even though they made the conference finals again last year, you know, the Devin Taves trade wasn't, you know, it was not good. You know, I think they miss a guy like Devin Taves, even though they still made the final conference finals last year. And then on top of that, Eberle's not there anymore. And you tried to kind of replace him with Parisi. Hopefully, you know, Oliver Wahlstrom will be one of those guys that can, you know, step into that role and deliver there too. So, if I'm an Islander fan right now, I'm probably thinking, you know, I'll give this a pass, this year a pass if we don't make it just because of their arena situation. In terms of the Canucks, though, right? Like, you know, we've seen this for about 8 or 9 years, right? You know, where they've made the playoffs, you know, once or twice if you include 2015. And I'm with Nav on this one. I actually don't think they'll make the playoffs. I just think the math is just incredible. Not to say that it's impossible, but they need to start stringing wins together. Mm-hmm. And what was the problem all year, right? And you know, with Boudreau coming out yesterday, it was really telling what he said. Or you know, last game was, you know, I've seen this all year where sometimes the boys won't come out and they're not prepared enough to play. Mm-hmm. So where is that coming from? Mm-hmm. And who is that coming from? And where's, you know, the leadership in that instance, you know, and even when the coach is coming out and saying that.
That's a very fair point there. And that seems to be a problem that's plaguing them for the last couple of years. And maybe they do need a shakeup of some sorts, but we got to get to the NFL here in a little bit.
But I want to say this one last thing, right? And I know TJ, you're optimistic, Hardy, you're optimistic, but me and Juggy, here's where I come. I want them to make the playoffs. Where were they? But here's the stat. At the end of the day, it comes down to numbers, boys, right? When Travis Green was fired, they were seventh in their division. They've had a really good run.
This is such a stupid argument, man. Yeah, but the point, they've made up so much ground, so it doesn't matter.
They have not made up ground.
Yes, they have. In terms of points, when they were seventh with Travis Green, they were like 20 points or like, say, 10 or 13 points out of the playoff.
So now they're 8 points out of the playoffs behind Calgary.
No, what? The wild card spot. What do you? That still counts as a playoff spot. Anyways, I'll just make one last comment here.
I was gonna say one thing though. They just had really bad luck with momentum though. Like they had the momentum, then the COVID break, right? Like that. Yeah, it totally derailed all the momentum.
This Holmstein can build it back here, and that's where, like, I'm looking at the next couple of weeks. If they go on a little bit of a run, and then I'm fully confident again. But
they better not lose to the Leafs.
Couple things I wanted to mention before.
I agree with that.
They better not. Okay. I wanted to talk about that incident with McDavid and Mark Spector. And I just wanted to tie it to the Vancouver media scene as well a little bit. But you guys saw. So what happened was earlier this year, Mark Spector and Leon Draisaitl had a little bit of a back and forth exchange. Draisaitl had an exchange with a different reporter. That blew up. We all saw that.
And Hall of Fame reporter apparently in Edmonton.
Yeah, but this time Mark Spector, who's another reporter who, you know, wrote a nasty article about McDavid and Draisaitl recently, saying they're the reason the team is losing. They're to blame and all that. And then so McDavid today after the presser ended, he, you know, we kind of caught the last bit of it. He's like, oh, you know, hey Specs, can we come have a word here? And so he gets up and they talk privately off to the side. I have a problem with media members overstepping their boundaries to the point where you are now distracting from a player's obligation and their obligation to their team and their mental preparation and their ability to keep their focus on the game and on their craft. I have a real big problem with that. That's not your job as media. Your job should not be to become the story or to take away from the player's, you know, performance at all. That if you're doing that, you're not only hurting your city, your fans, and the team, but you're disgracing the job of a journalist as what you're supposed to be as a reporter. You're supposed to report on a story. You're not supposed to create or be the story. And I have a big problem with that. And I want to hear your thoughts. It really pisses me off. And, and if they're not careful in Edmonton, they'll become like Vancouver or some of the guys like Vancouver.
Well, I don't want to I'm not going to throw all the media under the bus because it is a select few. I will agree. It's, you know, media person to person basis, right? I had no issue. I kind of read the article of the Mark Spector thing of what he said about McDavid. And honestly, there wasn't that much in there that was really insulting. He said he's not. The argument was basically who's better, McDavid or Crosby. And the guy came out and basically Mark Spector said he's not anywhere close to Crosby as an all around player. That's what I think the gist of the argument was. Now, I don't remember who the guy was that got in the argument with Leon Draisaitl there earlier, a month ago, I guess, was it, or a few weeks ago? That one I had an issue with because that he was provoking, right? Mm-hmm. He was provoking, he was pushing, calling him pissy or whatever. That's a difference, right? You can write an article, you have every right to write an article or whatever you want, as long as you're respectful. So Spector, you know what? I think his article was fine. He wasn't being disrespectful. But yeah, I do agree with that argument that was going on between Draisaitl and that other reporter. Again, I forget his name.
You didn't agree. Yeah.
Yeah, that was wrong. The way he was kind of poking at Draisaitl, then you're just being a child about it. It's like, why are you being pissy? Well, dude, shut up, all right? Like, that's not your job, is to provoke the guy. This isn't TMZ, all right? Like, ask him a question. He's answered your question. You didn't like the answer, move on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing, right? So there's a lot of factors going in here. And, you know, just with me being a part of the music industry that I'm in some ways I've experienced that, right? The media, you know, sort of criticism or however it is. And I think, especially in this day and age, we have to be very cognizant of what we say and what we do. But at the same time, I think with media and with the entertainment industry, with players, it's like that fine line, right? You want to write a story about a player, but you also want to make sure that you're not giving an accurate or an inaccurate, you know, sort of misrepresentation of that player. And on the other hand, with players, it's like, you do get paid lots to play, and especially your top players. And, you know, it is a part of your job in a sense to go talk to the media, because that's how you relay your, you know, information to the fans, you know, your frustrations of losing, or how are you going to turn it around? And even as cliche as those questions from the media can be, it's, you know, obviously the Matheson Draisaitl thing is
that's what it was, Jim Matheson, that's right.
Yeah. Because he went overboard with that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with Spec, I mean, McDavid and Draisaitl have been doing this for many years where they've been putting up points, right? It's just the whole roster construction, which is another story for another time. But the, you know, I think it's about finding that balance, that fine line of, mm-hmm. you know, writing the story, but also making sure that, you know, you're professionally interacting with not only the fans, mm-hmm. but also the players, and the same vice versa with the players and fans too, right? It goes in every which way it can.
Yeah, like the fans the other day against the Islanders, booing Halak off the ice. That pissed me the fuck off. I mean, I'm sitting there.
They have every right to boo.
Are you kidding me? You think that was Halak's fault? And for you to boo Halak, your own player, like how do you think he feels when he's coming off the ice?
Who gives a shit?
We're supposed to boo and heckle the other team or the refs.
No, you are paid.
You don't. No, but you don't do that to your own player. That's so stupid.
As long as you're not being disrespectful, you can.
That is disrespectful. You're booing your own damn player out of the building.
Like, man, you don't tell people how to react.
I'm not telling them. I'm saying my opinion. Hey, you can boo too at the game. I'll look at you and say, shut up, Nav, but listen.
And I'll tell you to shut up. That's the point, man. You pay $200 a ticket, you do what you want to do.
You can do what you want to do. I just think it's stupid and it's rude and I don't like it. But hey, I'm free to say my own thing. Don't count for me. I'm not Joe Rogan.
He's going to tell us.
I just wanted to add in one thing about what Spector said. I haven't seen the article myself, but one thing, you know, you have to look at the Oilers track record, because I know what Juggy's saying about the team and how it's been built, but it's always McDavid wears a C, right? And the one thing I have always said when it comes to these leagues is don't just put the C on a player that's performing at the highest level. Like, in the end, that might not be the best candidate to be your captain. And a captain's supposed to bring out the most, even if you don't necessarily have the best named players. Like, we've seen so many teams where the players step up their game when they need to, right? And for the Oilers and the way it's been going, I mean, they just fired Tippett now as well. Like, it makes you wonder, is where there's smoke, there could be fire, right? Mark Spector has been around for a long time as well. Like, is he actually acknowledging something that could be an issue? Is McDavid, like, obviously he's an amazing player and we all know, you know, how many points he puts up, all of those things, but is he actually the right candidate for the captaincy, or did they just put it on him because
it's a really good question?
Yeah, so
it's also hard not to give him captaincy too, right? It goes both ways. Then you gotta make the player feel like, you know, inferior and all that. But anyways, we've gone overboard with the Canucks. There's a big game coming up on this weekend. I don't know if you know, it's called the Super Bowl, and you know, it doesn't feature my Saints, it doesn't feature Nav's Packers, it doesn't feature Hard Aves Seahawks. I don't even know what
Seahawks guy.
You're a Seahawks guy too. It features the Los Angeles Rams.
None of your guys were invited to the playoffs, man. My guy went to the playoffs and choked.
Hey, your guy had his shot. Actually, no, he didn't have his shot, but anyways, he blew it either way. So
he's immunized. He never been vaccinated.
So we have it's not who dat, but we have who day. Hey, close enough. The Cincinnati Bengals making their, is it their first appearance in the Super Bowl? I don't know.
Third.
Is it? No,
they're
third appearance two. In the Super Bowl, but they haven't won one yet.
Yeah,
right.
No, they lost twice to the Niners.
And
in
it's the LA, the Los Angeles Rams, who are back after 3 years. Sean McVay's second chance at winning a title in LA, in SoFi Stadium, their home stadium, hosting the Super Bowl. This has only happened, I think, it's never happened before, where the team participating is playing in their home stadium for the Super Bowl.
So well, that second
time.
Year.
Second Tampa time. Last, I thought it did.
Last
I,
year.
Didn't happen in
oh,
Tampa
that's
Bay.
Right. Last year was in Tampa time, Bay. Yeah. That's really right. Won. Oh, my yeah. God. Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's like, the whole thing is rigged.
Back to back. That's kind of funny.
But that's why the NFL is getting worried. Like the meme you said, they're just going to host every Super Bowl now in Dallas. You know, that's the number one. Home team will never be in the Super Bowl.
That is true.
So we're gonna go around the, you know, Hard Dave, this is why we brought you on. So let's focus in on a couple of your favorite topics on the top of your head here. Like, what are you thinking about going into this game? What's on your mind? What matchups are you looking forward to? What part of the game are you looking forward to? I know the halftime we're all looking forward to. We'll talk about it later. But what are you looking forward to as far as the game goes?
So I think there's like some really good storylines in this matchup. So number one is Joe Burrow and Matthew Stafford are both first overall picks, right? Which is amazing in itself. Stafford's been a number, like he was drafted in 09 and he was on the Lions, unfortunately. So he never really had much success. It was a one and done repeatedly. And then now all of a sudden he gets traded to the Rams and, hey, look, you end up on a decent team. You end up in the Super Bowl, right? So Stafford's been playing lights out. He's only turned it over once in the playoffs so far. Burrow, on the other hand, tore his ACL in his rookie season, right? Week 11, he tore his ACL. And to come back the way he has, I mean, one of the craziest things is I think all of us assumed the Chiefs were going to beat them last time, right? I mean, I don't think anyone, especially when it's 21-3, no one thought that Cincinnati with Joe Burrow would come back down 21-3 and end up winning that game, which, I mean, he's been playing lights out. He won me a couple of fantasy football playoffs. So, yeah. I mean, this guy's been amazing. But
is he the next Tom Brady if he wins this Super Bowl? Like, can you start to say that? Like, is he the next Tom Brady in the making?
It's early. It's too early for that right now. But I mean, if he wins against the Rams, who, I mean, if you look at the odds, it's -200 on the Rams, right? Like a lot of people are saying the Rams, and I'll go more into the matchups for the game, but if he can pull it off, it'd be amazing for him only being in his second year, especially the teams he's had to beat with Tennessee also. And then the Raiders actually looked pretty decent when he beat them too. Mm-hmm. The other storyline though, the one I find the most interesting is Odell Beckham. So this guy who looked like he was done.
Yes. Right?
This guy literally looked like he was, once he went to Cleveland, the way that was going, Baker Mayfield, it just looked like this guy was just done.
Yeah, man.
And he ends up on the Rams, has over 100 yards last game, and all of a sudden looks rejuvenated to the point where Drake's dropping, you know, $500,000 bets.
I'm glad you just mentioned Drake, because the Drake curse is going to happen. Not only the Drake curse. So Drake is all on the Rams bandwagon here. He's dropping 500 grand per bet here.
They know.
Odell for a touchdown. Odell over 62.5 yards. Rams to win. He's got $1.5 million in bets dropped on the Rams. We know the Drake story. It's a curse. Not only that, though, I showed you this picture. I think I showed you too hard, David. And Juggy, I don't know if you've heard about the Simpsons meme here, or it might have been a clip, a still from the Simpsons episode. And the Simpsons is always, rumors that they have a time traveler, you know, going back. And
they do.
100%. The Simpsons came out with an episode. They had a Super Bowl episode where the Bengals beat the Rams, and the score was 34-31. And make what you want about this, but Nav, like, let's hear your thoughts. You know, referencing all of what we just talked about—the Drake curse, the Simpsons prophecy, time traveler prophecy.
You know what? First of all, I'm going to say, is he the next Tom Brady? Joe Franchise is not the next Tom Brady. There is no Tom Brady. You know what? All these quarterbacks, including my boy Rodgers, your boy Breeze, Wilson, these guys are good quarterbacks, but they all choke at some point or the other. They choke. Rodgers chokes. Breeze
Mahomes choked against Brady.
Mahomes, and you know, since Mahomes is coming to the league, they're like, oh, he's the next Tom Brady. How many times does this guy choke at the worst possible time? Yeah. He choked a couple weeks ago.
He lost the Bengals twice this year.
Yeah, he chokes there. And both times they were kicking the Bengals butt at halftime, and the Bengal Joe Franchise brought him back. So is he the next Brady? Hell no, there is no Tom Brady, because Tom Brady is the only one that doesn't choke. He doesn't. He's the GOAT. I don't even like Tom Brady, but my salute to him. He's the best of all time.
Unless you're facing Eli Manning for some fucking reason.
Yeah, that's
Eli Manning of all people. Like, come on. Kryptonite. What the?
That's a kryptonite. He's the
one of the Mannings
brother.
Had to get revenge, right?
He makes no sense.
So Eli got the revenge.
Out of all quarterbacks in this fucking league, Eli Manning is the kryptonite to Tom Brady. Kryptonite.
But now, coming back to this game, what I'm excited to see is the combination of Chase and Burrow. I know how Dave just said that, you know, Joe Burrow won him a couple games in fantasy.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow almost lost me my fantasy championship because he kept throwing to goddamn Chase, and Chase put up like 55 points.
Yeah, man.
Thankfully, my guys came through. I won. But I think this week, Chase hasn't been that great in the playoffs. He's been okay. You know, he's had a couple moments, but he hasn't been the Chase that we've seen for the majority of the regular season. I think that changes this Sunday. I think Chase is going to come out. They've won championships together, right? They've played together. They've been at this stage before, obviously not at the end of the NFL level, but at the college level. So this guy's not going to come in here and be like, oh my God, the stakes are too high. The place, it's too much. It's nothing. This guy does not get bothered. He, like you said, he was losing to Patrick Mahomes, the heir apparent, right? Who, the heir apparent to Michael Jordan, the LeBron James to his Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And what did Joe Franchise do? He just came in nice and calm, throwing touchdowns. I think this week, Joe Burrow is going to show us why he is going to lead the pack in the next generation. He is not the next Tom Brady, but he is going to be out of Allen, out of Patrick Mahomes. I think he's going to win more
Super Bowls. Yeah,
he just has that confidence. I just like when he asked him a couple weeks ago, and he's like, he goes, this should not be a surprise. This is the new norm. This is a new minimum. This is what we strive for. He's got a good team.
He might end up being the first quarterback that's ever won a college championship, a Heisman trophy, and a Super Bowl.
He's going to do it. I'm calling it right now. I know. Are we doing? If we're not doing predictions, I'm going to do my prediction right now. Not yet? Okay.
Okay, we'll do it in a second. I wanted to go through a couple more things. Juggy, do you have any thoughts, by the way? I know you're not an avid football fan, but just real quick, what are your thoughts on the Super Bowl in particular, you know, as a casual fan or observer?
Yeah, I think the Super Bowl is definitely one of the biggest events of the year. It's something that we all look forward to. And I think a matchup like this, it's going to be awesome to see, like you guys said, two first overall picks, two quarterbacks that, you know, are itching to prove themselves here. And I think that it's going to be a game worth watching, and plus the halftime too.
Yeah, I know you're excited about the halftime show.
Yeah, let's go.
They just announced 50 Cent is a part of the show too, which is crazy. Wow. There's a clip going around. We know he's doing that in the club song. And
let me ask you this, guys, and how do you kind of jumped on that at the beginning was, I mean, there's a team I like to go for the underdog. You know, we all know Rams are the favorite. Most people are picking the Rams. As a Canuck fan, I want to see that loser franchise that's never done anything.
Yeah. If the Rams lose Sunday, you know, when they won.
If the Rams lose on Sunday, they still have players. They live in LA.
Yeah.
They'll get over it. Yeah. I mean, if Cincinnati loses on Sunday, they're like, man, we live in Cincinnati. We still can't win a goddamn title. Yeah. You know what? I want to see the underdog win. However, in a certain way, either team winning is going to feel a little bit good. Like, yeah, the Bengals winning is going to be great for the city, for the team, the loser franchise. But if the Rams do win, like, is anybody going to feel bad or mad that Stafford won after what he went through for his entire career in Detroit? I mean, probably one of the worst places to live, let alone play.
Yeah.
And he got an opportunity to come to LA. I mean, I'd be happy for Stafford. If people hate on Stafford, I don't mind Stafford. I think he's an underrated quarterback and he's over, like, you know, he's not overhyped. People overhyped. Yeah. I don't think he's overhyped.
I think he's the only, like, that's the only reason I would be okay with LA winning. It's for Stafford's sake, even though I think he's a bum and, you know, let me down in the regular season a little bit. But
what do you think Cleveland fans are thinking right now? If somebody would have told them, you know what, just imagine some Cleveland Brown fan that's been, you know, without internet or under a rock somewhere, you know, he's in a coma, I don't want to say, but they wake up and they're like, hey, we got good news. Well, who's in the Super Bowl? A team from Ohio and Odell Beckham Jr. Jumping up and down. Can you imagine what they're thinking right now? Come on. Who would have thought?
But there's a part of me that just does not like the way it feels a bit rigged with LA. And I'm taking it back, you know, to the Rams against the Saints and the blown missed call, the pass interference call. You know, it was the first year in LA. You know, the Rams are back in LA, and it's like, it seems like there's this push to get them through, you know, and last game against the 49ers, I think there were a couple calls that were just a little bit too egregious and favoring the Rams. And I don't know if you guys see this or feel this, or, you know, I want to hear your thoughts on this, but that's something that's a part of, like, why I don't want LA to win. And it's the underdog story too. You know, you want to cheer for the Bengals. You want Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase to just take over the Super Bowl and you know, just to dominate the scene. And Ramsey's going to get dominated by Ja'Marr Chase, I think. But I just don't like that aspect. That one little thing in the back of my mind is like, they're trying to push LA forward. They're trying to give it to him.
Ramsey's the most overrated player in the NFL. They overhyped that guy too much.
I think we'll find out that's true.
I think Chase is going to burn him.
Well, Ramsey won't be covering Chase the whole
time. He won't be covering him all the time. Only when they line him up together. He wants to.
Higgins or what?
No, he's not. He's not playing man to man. They don't play man to man.
But that's the thing with Ramsey. I didn't think he's overhyped. He's overhyped. Just like Diggs in Dallas is kind of overhyped with how many interceptions he's had.
Yeah, because he's actually one of the worst cover corners in the game. He just gets interceptions.
Ramsey makes great plays once in a while. I mean, not once in a while. He does make great plays, but.
Well, he makes
a lot of mistakes, man.
Pro Football ranks him as like the number one, I still think. I'm not sure exactly, but he's still top five.
I think Jair Alexander is one of the top now.
Ramsey's still top five, though. He's still statistically still a top five. And he's calmed it down. He used to be so cocky when he was in Jacksonville. And when he came to LA after the trade, he was very kind of like cocky, but he's toned it down. I like that about a player. Who doesn't make it,
or he's realized he's not as good as he claims to be anymore.
Or he's on a team full of many different egos, and you know your role and shut your mouth. You know, he's got the best defensive back in the game, you know, and then you got Von Miller coming from the Denver Broncos, you know, for his second Super Bowl here, right? So it's gonna be a fun game. I also want to mention Eric Weddle. Isn't it crazy how he came out of retirement, joins the team for the playoff run, the Rams here. Leads the team in tackles in the conference or in the national championship game. NFC championship game. Sorry. Yeah. And so isn't that amazing? Like, and now it's his first Super Bowl and he's going to re-retire after this game. But isn't that a great story? Like, I just like love stuff like that, you know.
You hope he wins.
Final predictions. You guys ready for this?
Well, before we get there.
Okay. Before we get there, final thoughts, then final predictions. Go ahead.
So the most interesting thing for me is, I'll go back to the Chiefs. The Chiefs revamped their O-line. And after we saw what happened with them in Tampa in the Super Bowl, and they're like, okay, we need to protect Mahomes. And then Cincinnati, who doesn't actually run the blitz that often, ended up sacking Mahomes four times. Mm-hmm. The most interesting part of this matchup is going to be if Cincinnati can pressure Stafford without blitzing. Stafford is the best QB against the blitz. But if they can get pressure on Stafford without blitzing, his QBR rating is around 75, and he's actually terrible if he's getting pressured without a blitz. So I know Cincinnati's O-line is atrocious. They have
I think that's their weakest link, right?
Yeah, right tackle is just brutal. Like, I remember I even made a bet one time and won because he allowed, like, four sacks that game.
Oh, wow.
He's terrible, yeah. And then you have Von Miller, Leonard Floyd, Aaron Donald coming at you. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing with Ramsey too. He looks better because these guys put pressure on the opposing QBs.
Yeah.
So they have to rush their throws. So Ramsey ends up benefiting from that, right? It's all mm-hmm. going to be whether they can A, pressure Stafford without having to blitz, and B, I don't know how that Cincy line is going to hold up against. Usually Aaron Donald always gets double teamed, but if you do that, you have Von Miller rushing off the edge as well, right? So
they're going to get sacks. They're going to get a lot of sacks. Like,
Nav,
that's going to happen.
So that was Hard Aves, you know, how the Rams win, how the Bengals win. That was really, really good insight there. Nav, what do you think? How do the Rams win? How do the Bengals win? Final thoughts.
Well, like Hard Aves just said, that's going to be my point. The weakest part to me, the Bengals game, is their offensive line. And, you know, how are you going to stop these guys from getting to your quarterback, right? Burrow's going to have to get rid of that ball very quickly. And I think one player who hasn't really done much in these playoffs, in my, you know, estimation, is Joe Mixon. What is Joe Mixon going to do? You're going to have to run that ball. You're going to have to find a way to run that ball. And if, you know what, if the LA Rams can stop Joe Mixon and they can't let Burrow get any time, then the Rams are going to win.
Yeah.
Right. But if Burrow can find a way to get those quick passes to Joe Mixon, you know, to Boyd, to even Chase, like how many times has Chase caught a 5 yard pass and ran it 75 yards?
Establish like a short game, a run game early. And then
you're going to have to do those screen passes. I think they're going to have to use those screen passes really quickly to get the ball out of Joe Burrow's hand, especially in the first half. Right. If LA goes up, say a touchdown or by, you know, a couple scores, 10 points, whatever, Bengals are in trouble. I don't think the Bengals have that offensive line to come back, especially against Donald, against Von Miller, against Ramsey, right?
Yeah.
Ramsey is still, I'm not a big fan of his, but he is still a very good player. So if you fall down against the Rams by, you know, multiple scores,
yeah,
I think it's going to be over early. So I hope it's a close game. Mm. Again, for the Bengals to win, get rid of the ball, get into the hands of Ja'Marr Chase, get into the hands of Boyd. You know, he's like the third wide receiver that they use.
And he was their best receiver last year, early before Chase. Yeah, last year. So
he's a very good wide receiver, right? So, you need to get that ball out of his hand very quickly and don't give him the opportunity to sack your quarterback because, you know, they're going to get chances.
Very well said, both of you guys. Go ahead, Ardave.
I was just going to say, I could see them using Ja'Marr Chase a lot like how Deebo was being used as well, right? Because they've already done that too. And I think with LA, they're going to try doing, like you said, quick screens and plays like that just to avoid the pass rush because they know LA's got the pass rush. So I think that's what they're mainly going to use to try avoiding that.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I think I echo most of what you guys said in terms of how the Rams win, how the Bengals win. For me, though, I think it comes down to Joe Burrow. You know, he is who he is. If he's going to have a game, how the hell are the Rams going to stop him? Right. If Tom Brady decides to show up and make his dime throws and read the defense and audible on the fly and control the line of scrimmage, how are you gonna stop him? You can't. That's what a quarterback does. Right. So if Joe Burrow has himself a game, it doesn't matter what anything else that happens there. In my opinion, Joe Burrow is either gonna win the game or lose the game on his shoulders. For LA, I really think it's gotta come down to their run game. I think Cam Akers Cam Akers is gonna have a game or Sony Michel or Dale Henderson, what McVay is going to do is have a running back by committee to start and run the hot hand. I think it'll be Cam Akers. He's the best back. If Cam Akers shows up and just has himself a game, he's fully healthy now. You know, he's off that Achilles injury. He's played a few games. He's got that momentum. He's got the rock. He's their lead back. If he shows up and takes over in the first or second, you know, quarter and they establish a lead and they have him going full speed, there's no way I think the Bengals can catch up. But if that doesn't happen, I think it's up to Joe Burrow. It's not up to Stafford. It's not up to Ramsey. It's not up to Donald even. It's up to Joe Burrow. That's all I got to say. It's Joe franchise for the Super Bowl championship. If they win, he's the MVP. That's it. Predictions. Start with you, Juggy. What's your final prediction on the Super Bowl?
Oh, man. I'm going to go 28-21.
28-21 for the Bengals. Okay. Hard Dave, your final prediction?
I will go with 35-27 Bengals.
35-27 Bengals. Nav?
You know, I'm going to go a little bit more low scoring. I think it's going to be 21-14 for the Bengals. I'm surprised we're all picking the Bengals.
I can tell you why I'm picking the Bengals. I think
My final prediction here before you say why, I'm going with the Simpsons. 34-31 for the Bengals. Okay, let's hear your reason why.
I was going to say, I think Sam Hubbard and I think Hendrickson are going to pressure Stafford without blitzing. And I think that version of Stafford's going to show up. And we saw it, like people were saying that, you know, if you play physical with them, they get rocked. And I think those guys are going to be pretty physical with Stafford. And it's like after Robert Woods got injured, they just completely look like a different team. And I think that's the team. They're going to get nervous too. They're in LA. I think that's going to play a factor as well.
Good point.
I think since he's got this.
Well, there you have it. 4-0 here on the LarshCast for the Bengals. We're all going to be prophets. We're all going to help you make you some money, or you already have your mind made up. You know who you're going to bet with. Just remember, before we go here, Drake bet on the Rams. All right. The Drake curse is real. Have a good night.